We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Harry Leader, we're back. Marks and Reese, and we start uninterrupted conversation commercial-free at 215-592-9494. Why did the Eagles choose Nick Sirianni? What do Eagles fans think? It's the day after. Do you feel better about the hire today? Do you feel worse? I feel better. I feel good about it. As good as I can, Ike, because I don't know how he's going to call plays. I don't know how he's going to manage a game. I don't know how he's going to lead the team, because none of us really know that, right? I think it's fair to say, like, until he does it, I don't know if he can do that. But here's why I'll say that I like it, is because Jeffrey Lurie hired him, and I trust Jeffrey Lurie. As much as I'll bitch and complain about Jeffrey Lurie meddling and wanting to draft players and everything else, Jeffrey Lurie has had a pretty good track record of hiring coaches. He interviewed candidates, and he stopped and he ended it when he interviewed Nick Sirianni. Mm. Something that happened in that interview convinced Jeffrey Lurie that he was the guy that he was going to hire. Right, so did some of that have to do with Carson Wentz and the plan that he has for Carson Wentz? Yeah, you're damn right it probably did. But I think the Eagles actually just hired the best candidate for the job. I don't think that Jeffrey Lurie looked at him and said, oh, he's only 39 and he has no experience past being an offensive coordinator. Oh, I'm going to hire him because then I can meddle and I can do what I want to do. I don't believe that was the case. I just think it's as simple as they hired the best coach. They hired the best candidate that was out there. So that's
the way I look at it. Okay, so let me ask you this. When they make draft picks, do you think they are drafting the best player they think is available?
Do I think they're drafting the best player that they think is available? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So them hiring this coach, all it does, based on their history, should prevent people from going ballistic. Doesn't mean they should be like, oh, yeah, they hired the next great Eagles football coach because they hired Andy Reid, because they hired Doug. They lucked into hiring Doug Peterson, who was basically placed here for them. They lucked into that. So the idea of they hired this guy and we should just he's automatically going to be that guy because this is what happened the last time. No. What it does is it affords them the benefit of the doubt. That's all it does.
Agreed.
That's all it does. Did they hire the best candidate available? I don't believe so. Did they hire their first choice? I don't believe so.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
I don't believe so. But my point in saying that, based off of what you said, when they present him to us, yeah, they're going to present him to us that way. This was our first choice. That was the guy we wanted. It's the same thing as a draft pick. Yeah, we know once you take the guy, you're going to sell him as the guy you wanted. Doesn't mean it was the right guy to take. Doesn't mean it was the right receiver to take. Yeah, we know you had good intentions, but it doesn't mean you selected the right one because your sort of module or your criteria, and I'm still including the drafting in this, your criteria for the player you're drafting isn't sound. Now, for coaching, the criteria Jeffrey Lurie has used to hire coaches, it has been sound. And it has worked out for him for the most part.
Yeah.
And that's what I said. It affords them the benefit of the doubt. I think they do deserve that. But it doesn't mean they hired the right coach, and it doesn't mean they hired him for the right reasons. I do believe a lot of it had to do with hiring someone who's going to embrace the way they view a coaching staff should be, the way a football organization should be run. And that means including front office input. That means Howie has final say on certain things. That means Jeffrey may be in on certain acquisitions, draft picks, free agency, things of that nature. You're not going to have total control. You may not have total control over your staff. You have to be on board with that. And I do believe that was a big reason why they hired this guy. Doesn't mean he's not a good coach, but for them to have to work with someone on a day-to-day basis, you had better believe at the top of their priority list is this someone we can work with based on the things that we want in the building? Is this someone that's going to come in here and fit into what we envision our culture being like?
Mm. Well, I also think that was...
And that has to be someone who doesn't have a lot of tread, who hasn't been influenced by too many people, that they're stuck in their ways. See, Josh McDaniels was more of a last resort because the other candidates weren't impressing him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
They had to go to Josh McDaniels. Like, oh, Lord, this is going to be our last resort. We're going to have to wind up hiring Josh McDaniels.
And then Sirianni
or
came along.
Or Deuce Staley.
Yeah. And
which obviously they didn't want to do.
Deuce was always going to be there. I mean, like, to your point, I hear what you're saying, and it's not that you're wrong, but you would have had a candidate out there that would have been the guy that would have been like, no, actually, when you give me the job, you're not influencing draft picks, mm-hmm. and you're not allowed to be involved in this process or that process, Jeffrey Lurie. That candidate wasn't out there. So from the pool of candidates that they were hiring from, weren't they all kind of the same except for Josh McDaniels, who, by the way, hasn't been a coach for a decade
in the NFL? I
don't know.
Robert Saleh put his staff together. He put his staff together. I mean, these other coaches got hired, and they put staffs together.
With no influence from the team?
I don't know.
Okay, well,
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know exactly how it's going to go down. To your point, based on what's going on with Doug Peterson, there was a lot of influence from above.
Letting him put his own staff together.
Was that because they knew they needed to hold Doug's hand because his idea was Press Taylor coming back?
Listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is a recipe for a disaster. That's not what I'm saying. From their point of view, they have justification because it led to a Super Bowl the way they did it that way.
And that sucks.
From their point of view, I'm just saying I believe that was a big reasoning for why they hired this guy. Yeah, he's a good football coach. He may have great ideas, but you would best believe they wanted to make sure this is somebody that we're going to enjoy coming to work with every day, meaning that he's not somebody that's looking to rock the boat, ruffle feathers, come in here and be a tyrant. Right?
Goes along with the program.
Exactly, yes. And I believe that was higher on the list than the other things.
Today's broadcast brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Chickies and Pete's invites you to dine indoors in South Jersey, Glassboro, Bordentown, Egg Harbor, Marlton, Tropicana, Atlantic City. Plus, you can dine indoors at all Chickies and Pete's locations in the Pennsylvania suburbs. To the phones, Alex in Gilbertsville. Alex, go ahead. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I haven't talked to you in like 5 or 6 years. It's been a while, but I listen every day.
Oh, yeah.
Home from work.
Thank you.
Love it. So Sirianni, this year, right? How much say does he have in the draft? He has zero, right? Like, he's not going to have. He might have like a tiny bit of say, but he's not going to have.
He's
really
not running the draft room. Yes, he's not running the draft room.
Yeah, yeah. He's got no pull at all.
I won't say no pull, but imagine how much pull can he have, Alex?
Yeah, right. So
they wouldn't even get a Super Bowl winning coach.
Right. Exactly. So and how much pull does he have with his staff?
Well,
this year.
We'll find that out based on who's hired here, and you'll be able to look and see what relationship. Had he had any prior relationships with those guys? Like, I think with Doug's staff, was there anybody on this staff that he had worked with?
No, not at all.
No.
I don't really think so.
Sirianni also has been – was around more than Doug was.
A little bit more than Doug, yeah.
A couple more years than Doug in a couple different spots. Doug was Kansas City, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't think Sirianni – he was hired because he's going to come in and he's going to play his role. I don't think really – I don't know.
The one guy, Alex, that I think that and thank you, and it's the one guy that and the guy, I guess the guy they decided not to hire, the one guy that you could say that was available at the end that would maybe wouldn't do what they wanted as far as going along with the program would be Josh McDaniels. right? Like, he would be the one guy that maybe would, after a year, say, you know what? No, actually, Howie, I want to say who we're drafting, not you, right?
Right.
He's the guy that's coming from New England who is thought
Six
to be arrogant.
Rings,
yeah. Like, who the heck? Like, yeah, you have your ring. Big deal. Like, you're not even a football guy. Right. I'm a football guy.
Yep.
They didn't hire him.
Yep.
I thought that was good they didn't
hire him.
Although
they tried to say Howie wanted him.
They did.
Yeah, I'm not buying that one.
So everything that Jeff McClain puts out there, you just figure is a text message
from
Well,
I don't know where it's from. All I know is nothing has painted Howie in a negative light. That's what I see.
Not at all.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, that's obvious.
I mean,
that's a great idea.
Jeffrey's been painted in a negative light. Carson has been painted in a negative light. Doug has been painted in a negative light.
Not Howie.
I mean, not Howie.
Should we leak something to Elliot and get something on the website painting Elliot in a negative light?
I suggested that. Yes. Great idea. Text them, Jack. Let's go. Oh, Inge's on the line. Hi, Inge.
Hey, guys. I think I know exactly what Jeffrey Lurie is up to.
What?
Just give me a second, and I'll explain to you exactly what he's thinking.
Yeah.
This coach was hired as a bridge loan coach. What I mean by that is he got into the game late. He fired Doug Peterson late because he never trusted him. I really believe that he said, you know what? This year's crop of coaches are no good. Let me take one step back real fast and I'll move forward. I think with Doug Peterson, he never trusted him. And the whole experience this year with what happened to Carson Wentz was pretty traumatic for him. And I think in this way, and I think Jeffrey Lurie wanted to hand the reins. He saw himself in the mirror and said, you know what? I'm too meddlesome. I need to stop it. But I need to find a coach that I trust completely. That might have been Lincoln Riley. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But this is my point. Let me get back to this bridge loan coach. I really believe that this coach, and this is what they're working on now, to get a really team-friendly contract. This guy, he knew, Jeffrey Lurie knew, that this guy was, like, he didn't like any of these guys. So what he said to himself was, if I got Frank Reich's protege, if we're going to waste a year and I'm going to hire a bona fide coach next year or the year after that, why not get a guy that can try to fix Carson Wentz? We're going to waste this year anyway. So why don't we get a guy, if we're going to waste this year, why don't we get a guy that could potentially fix Carson Wentz, even though Jeffrey Lurie has given up on him. It doesn't matter.
So a high ceiling coaching candidate that if he flames out, they can just whack and go get somebody better.
This is what I'm saying. His only job is to try to work with Carson Wentz because he's a bridge loan. Jeffrey Lurie just gave up. He got it late into the game and he said, I don't see any coach that I completely trust to hand him the reins. So I'm going to hire this guy and hopefully he'll succeed. And who knows, maybe he'll become Vince Lombardi. But his thinking is, this is only going to be a short-term hire until I convince a bona fide coach that I completely trust. And this also affects the GM as well. He's on the clock for the next year, too.
We got Yangi. So he hired the best candidate he thought was out there. I don't know how many years he's going to have it on his contract, but you know, maybe in 3 years they say he's not the guy and we try to hire somebody else. I mean, just being knee-jerk with coaches isn't going to do Jeffrey Lurie any good. Let's go to Bill in Chester. Bill, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Bill?
What's up, Bill?
Hey, the last caller, he almost got it right.
Mm-hmm.
Almost. But the thing is, when Jeffrey Lurie, when he fired Doug Peterson, he didn't expect Doug Peterson to say what he said. So now they start scrambling, trying to find out, oh, we need a coach now. So while they're scrambling, they're interviewing all these different guys, but they're just wasting time trying to find out what their next move is going to be. So what this guy is really, he is a stopgap. And when things fall out of place, they're gonna blame him for everything. He's gonna take the blame for everything.
Appreciate it, Bill. I mean, why do you think they hired him? think they hired him because he part Carson Wentz, part because he goes along with the program. A lot of people seem to have a problem with the idea that he would be hired in large part because of Carson Wentz to fix Carson Wentz. You agree that would be?
I think that would be problematic if that's what they did. I would have a problem with that as well. Listen, you know, I'm all about the Bronco, and I want him to get back, and I think he can get back to being where he was as a player, and I think he will get back there. But you can't hire a coach solely for that. He has to be a guy that's going to be able to coach everybody, that's going to be able to lead everyone. Like, you can't continue to fuel this narrative that everything is about Wentz and everything is catered around Wentz, and he doesn't handle it well, and he takes advantage of it. He abuses the power. And, you know, if that's the case, then how do you think he's going to treat this coach when he comes in, this 39-year-old? And listen, I've said this, and I'll continue to say it. I'm not 100% sure Wentz is back here next year. I'm still not 100% sure of that. And I don't think it would benefit the Eagles to feed into this idea that this is all about Carson Wentz, fixing him, getting him right, firing Doug, this, that, and the other, because that in the long run doesn't benefit the Eagles.
No, you're right.
That has clearly backfired, and it has clearly caused a division, if you believe reports, in the building, and how people view him, how teammates view him. If it's true that Deuce was fed up with Wentz being babied or getting away with things, he was. Like, that stuff doesn't endear him to people if you continue to make moves based on that. So you're just – You're not fixing the culture issue in the building. You're continuing to add to the problem. If that's what this was all about, and I just have to believe that Jeffrey Lurie knows that's a problem, and that's not what he's doing.
Today's broadcast brought to you by Chickies and Pete's. Chickies and Pete's invites you to dine indoors in South Jersey, Glassboro, Bordentown, Egg Harbor, Marlton, Tropicana, Atlantic City, plus. You can dine indoors at all Chickies and Pete's in the Pennsylvania suburbs.
Which leads me back to why I don't believe this was all about Wentz. I'm not saying it wasn't about Wentz, and that wasn't part of the interviewing process, but there's also another quarterback here who's an insurance policy or an asset, however they view it. My only point in saying that is that they have to have a contingency plan if Wentz doesn't bounce back.
Well, I mean,
or if he's still an issue. So you have to have a coach in place that can continue to coach your team.
Frankly,
if this guy can't bounce back.
If I'm Jeffrey Lurie, I have doubts if Carson Wentz is the quarterback that you signed. So you're not going to hire a coach just because, like, oh, we have to bring in a guy here that's going to fix Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
You need to have a plan if Carson Wentz doesn't work out next year. You need to hire the right coach anyway. So I don't buy into the they were so fixated on finding somebody that would
fix
Carson
Wentz.
No, they're fixated on finding a coach that can actually that can be a winner.
Yep.
That's what I think they're waiting for.
And who will go along. Don't be asking for more power. Don't be asking to be a part of the draft process. Doug did that whole diatribe.
Well, and don't try to promote Press Taylor.
Yes, exactly. Yo, Doug did his whole thing. And Doug, you may as well have been saying, I'm saying goodbye to everybody right now.
But to your
point. As he sat there pointing out everything he wanted to do moving forward.
To your point, there's about a 0% chance he's going to pull what Chip Kelly pulled after 1 year of going 10-6.
Right.
And they know that.
Yes.
And that's probably comforting to them that they feel like that they have somebody that could be in it with the long haul, for the long haul.
Well, think about it. Look how long it took for Doug to step out there and say it took him 2 years after he won the Super Bowl, 3 years after
and
he won
And to where
the Super
he
Bowl.
Clearly knew that the rubber was about to hit the road. Something had to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Sinarisso, 94 WIP, HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Tasty Cake Studios. Another one, and we talked about this earlier. Let's hit it again. Do you believe that Carson Wentz was consulted or asked his opinion on the next head coach of the Eagles? Do you believe that Jeffrey Lurie or Howie Roseman said, hey, what do you think of this guy?
No.
I agree with you.
I don't believe that. And I wouldn't be – now, he may have been, but you're asking me to do what I believe if he was.
Yes.
I don't believe it. I don't believe
they might have given him a heads up, like, hey, just so you know, before this gets out, we're going to hire this guy. But, I mean, Jeffrey Lurie didn't seem like he was in the mood at that press conference to be babying Carson Wentz and making sure.
I don't think they gave Carson a heads up.
No?
I don't think they did any of that. I don't know if Carson's in a good place with the Eagles right now.
Right.
We think this is all about the Eagles – being upset or whatever, whatever with Carson. I think Carson and his silence speaks volumes. I'm not so sure he's not happy with the organization.
Maybe he still doesn't want to play
and
here.
And the leaks that have been put out there about him and his personality. So he knows this stuff is coming from somewhere, and somebody's saying it about him. I don't know if he wants to come back to Philadelphia and be here. Now, he doesn't have the ultimate say, but I don't know that. Like, we don't know until he actually speaks. We don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We don't know.
Or until he speaks to somebody and they put it on Twitter.
Because it was a report out there last week that Wentz wasn't happy about leaks that were out there about him.
Right.
And that he needed time to step away because there are trust issues that he has with everybody.
And the other thing was that
teammates, coaches, front office.
If after he got benched, he went to Howie and Doug to complain, or Howie and Jeffrey to complain, and he was met with like, "Hey, what do you want us to do about it?" Right? Like, who knows right. Who knows what they said to him when he
right.
He might be mad at them too.
Right.
Hmm.
That's what I just said.
Let's go to Ray. Ray's in Morristown. Ray.
Guys, how you doing?
What's up?
What's up, Ray? It's been a while, Ray.
Man, Ike, brother, listen, we've been going through it, you know, and you and I and Marks, man, we've all been talking Philadelphia sports for as long as we can remember.
Long time, brother.
You guys came to WIP. I was on both your first shows, so, yep. Man, we go way back.
Right on.
And that's why I have to tell you, I'm concerned because, I mean, I don't know if we haven't even put this in proper perspective or not. This is the third head coach we've had in 10 years. I'm starting to feel like we're one of these flash-in-the-pan organizations again. You know, we got so used to having an Andy Reid, and now we've gone through three head coaches in 10 years. That's not good.
No.
And
no.
When they announced this gentleman yesterday, I was like, who? Who is this? And I just don't understand. Why can't you wait for Eric Bieniemy? Why can't you go out and find somebody that really is a – I really wanted a name because I really feel like that's probably your best bet coming from what we've come from over the last decade or so. We're used to winning. You know, hiring this guy almost feels like a rebuild to me. And the fact that they didn't wait for Eric and the fact that they're not giving Deuce an opportunity is a slap in the face really for him. I mean, unless something's working behind the scenes where they're going to let him become the bona fide offensive coordinator, which would make a lot of sense. But I don't know if they're going to do that or not. But if they don't, Deuce needs to pack his bags because I can't understand why they wouldn't think enough of him to at least give him a shot.
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks, Ray. Right. Appreciate it.
It's going to be interesting to see what Deuce does.
Well, if he didn't want to be the offensive coordinator, and this is according to what Paul Domowicz wrote the other night, if he rejected the offer in 2018 after they won the Super Bowl because it did entail play calling, which, by the way, I don't really understand why he wouldn't accept it anyway if he's trying to be a head coach. I don't even know if he wanted to be an offensive coordinator.
Well, I'm sure he gave Jeffrey Lurie a reason as to why he didn't want to be the OC.
I mean, I'm sure he did too. I mean, in the article it said it because he wasn't a play caller, so I guess he felt like that it wasn't a real offensive coordinator. But Frank Reich also wasn't calling plays, and he was the offensive coordinator and got him a job. Anyway, I don't.
Yeah, I know you bring that up, and I know. But we got an offensive coordinator, a guy calling plays on the best team, a defending Super Bowl champion. He can't get a job. So.
Yeah.
Deuce being OC wasn't going to guarantee him getting a job. We're seeing guys get jobs who hasn't been OCs,
yep.
Who aren't calling plays.
No, I agree. I guess what I was saying was just as it relates to whether he would take the OC job now, I mean, would he, if they did offer him the job now to be the offensive coordinator, would he take it? I don't know. We don't know what exactly Deuce is going to do. Let's go to Brooks in Northeast Philly. Brooks, go ahead. How are you?
Marks and Reese, what's up, y'all?
My man.
What's up, Brooks?
I'm going to start out by saying this. All Eagles fans, hold on to your memorabilia. Don't let it go. Cherish it with everything you got. Because I'm 45 years old, and I'm thinking that might be the last Super Bowl I see in my lifetime. The reason why I say that is because...
You might be right.
It's one common denominator out of all the situation. First of all, you don't bring back a Super Bowl quarterback, shrines being built in the locker room, and you have a pup that's just trying to come into his own, trying to win the locker room, trying to come back and be a Super Bowl champion after the quarterback that won it. That was the first mistake. Second mistake he made, you bring back old Pinoa, the second and third or fourth, or how many times you want to say it. You bring back older players, and then you draft a quarterback. You draft a quarterback who don't see himself as a backup quarterback. Then you draft him behind Wentz, who's soft already, and you know this. And you draft a quarterback. Now you want to say that it's the coach's fault, because the coach want to stand on his own 2 feet because you botching the draft, drafting all these players that only can't even play in the league. Now you want to blame it on him. I'm going to tell the owner, Jeff, you need to get out the way, because now you're starting to act like Jerry Jones. And I'm going to tell
another Jerry Jones reference.
You need to let football people do their thing and worry about the numbers, because we're going to be sitting around here for another 10 years thinking about 2008. Listen, I ain't getting rid of my hats. I ain't getting rid of my flags and none of that stuff. That stuff going to be hanging up in my house, and I'm going to be able to walk in and look at it every day if God let me see another day. Because this ain't – that's going to be our Super Bowl. That's going to be our, you know, our
– Yes.
I just don't feel it. How we're going, you let a coach and a GM that know football do their thing. You step in the office and do the numbers. Don't try to influence what
– But he's the GM, Brooks. He's the GM of the team. Right, like I know that they brought in John Dorsey, and maybe he's now having influence. But he's—I know—but that's his job, right? Like he's not stepping away. Like what football people are doing their job. He's supposed to be that guy.
No, he need to come co-owner then, or come co-owner some, or vice president of all the numbers and stuff. Don't pick the draft pick.
Wow.
What are you talking about?
Brooks,
we got a linebacker in here forever.
Brooks, we don't disagree, but until they bring in somebody to do that,
that's another unnecessary shot.
I'm hoping John Dorsey is given some. I mean, if we believe that Howie leaned on Joe Douglas when he was here to help with the draft and help with free agents, I'm hoping he realizes it's in his best interest, Howie Roseman, to do the same with John Dorsey or whoever his lieutenants are.
Yeah,
I hope so. Let's go to Bernie in Woodwood. Bernie.
Hey guys, it's good to be on. I haven't called in a long time, but I always respect the both of you, and I'm always glad that I get to talk to both of you whenever in the past when I've seen you in person, but...
What's up, Bernie? I remember you, dude.
Oh, I know you remember me.
Bernie was in line for some sale they had at the Wells Fargo Center for all this gear. He was in line at like 2 o'clock in the morning waiting for
it. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, not that early, but early enough. But anyway.
What's up, Bernie?
So I'm actually very okay with the hire. I'm happy about it for a different kind of reason. I think if Deuce was brought in to be the head coach, I thought he would have been brought in to fail. And the only reason I say that is because as much as this pains me, I don't think the Eagles are going to be good next year. And if that's the case, there could be a general manager change. And when there's a general manager change, they usually like to bring in their own coaches and everything. So I wouldn't want to see that happen to a guy like Deuce Staley. So I'm happy on that front. I also don't like Josh McDaniels at all, so I'm really glad he is not in Philadelphia at all.
Yeah, me too.
But for me, I really like Deuce a lot, and I hope for the best for him and everything, but I just think if he was brought in to coach this year, it would have been like a Ryan Sandberg situation with the Phillies, and I just did not want to see that at all.
Mm. Yeah, I had a couple people say that to me as well.
Thanks,
Bernie.
They
didn't think this was a situation that's set up for Deuce to have success, and he would have just been a fall guy, and they may have gotten rid of him after a year.
Yeah.
And so I've had people say that to me as well, that, listen, they're happy Deuce didn't get the job. They wanted a more ideal situation for him so that he could have success. So
makes sense, right?
Yeah.
It does.
Protecting Deuce from it could be protecting Deuce from they can go 4-12 next year.
Sure, yes, for sure.
No matter who the head coach is. Like Deuce can do a good job, they have a bad year, and then all of a sudden the fan base turns on an Eagles great.
Yep.
That's likely what would happen.
Yep. It'd be like if we brought you back as special teams coordinator. Now somehow Dave Phipp has lasted this long. So I guess you would have a long leash as special teams coordinator.
I can only imagine me turning on the radio in my car as I got in there leaving a NovaCare. After we're averaging like 5 yards of punt return. We can't get the ball out past the 30-yard line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm getting ripped. You know, get Ike out of the building. He's a terrible host. He's a terrible special teams coach.
Mm-hmm.
It ruins
really
everything.
Starting to go after Ike Reese now.
Oh, yeah, we couldn't let you do it.
Man, listen, I said the same thing about Nick. Nick left here at the right time. He couldn't do anything but go down from where he was.
Yeah, if they made him the starting quarterback and they traded Carson
Wentz. Oh, my goodness.
We would hate him.
Right?
We'd hate him.
Because you had the same setup. He would have never been able to recapture what he did.
No,
and
he
all he would have heard is, oh, you were a fraud. You didn't even win that Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So this way he leaves, and he's going to always be the hero.
You got that stupid statue.
Yeah. Got a door and window. Their big winter sale has been extended through January. The end of January. 40% off. All windows and doors, 877-GO-GUIDA. Visit goguida.com. Couple things here. Jim Caldwell and Josh McCown are interviewing for the Texans' head coaching job.
Josh McCown?
Yeah.
Has he recovered from the torn hamstring?
Yeah, the torn hamstring. Wasn't he just the COVID quarterback?
He came out of retirement to make more money. Well, he was on the Eagles practice squad.
Well, I tell you, let me see.
Mike Garafolo, Texans are exploring the idea of Josh McCown as the head coach, but would surround him with at least one former head coach on the staff. Again, not as crazy as it might seem to go from player to head coach. If anybody can do it, McCown can.
Who said this?
Mike Garafolo, NFL Network.
Mike, come on, Mike. Now Josh McCown can go from being career backup, just stepped off the field, right, was coaching high school football. He's ready to be the head coach.
Oh, so is Doug.
Yeah, but Doug had a couple years as an assistant.
I know.
Yes.
Well, here's the
Josh McCown was just a backup quarterback 3 weeks ago.
He played in a playoff game last year.
Jim Caldwell, who I think would be an excellent hire for the Texans. Mm-hmm. So what's next, a player coach before they hire somebody, Ike?
Hey, Deshaun is pushing it. Yeah, you may as well let Deshaun Watson be the coach.
Also, 15 years ago today, Kobe Bryant scored 81 points. Jack, do you have sound from it? Hit it. The late, great Stuart Scott, 28 of 46, 18 of 20 from the foul line, 81 points, a plus 25 on the night, Ike Reese.
Bean!
Man.
Bean!
Two greats that I miss, Kobe and Stuart Scott. Rest in peace, both of you.
Yeah, Stuart Scott did get one thing wrong, though.
What did he say?
Well, he said it was the second most points ever scored in an NBA game, and everyone knows it was the most points ever scored in an NBA game.
Here we go.
Certainly that we have footage of.
Yeah, there's actual footage of it. It was covered on SportsCenter. It's not some wives' tale.
Hold on.
High story from people in Hershey.
I saw your tweet earlier.
Yes.
So this is one of Jack's hottest takes that he has. So you say Kobe scored the most points in NBA history in one game because you don't believe that Will Chamberlain scored 100 points in a game.
Correct.
Why not?
Wow, there's no video proof of it. The stats don't even make any sense. I mean, Wilt Chamberlain, a career 51% free throw shooter, apparently, quote unquote, shot 28 of 32. 28 of 32
That's pretty good.
In a game.
That would be out of the ordinary.
It sounds a little bit of a high tail, does it not?
So, Jack, you point to the only real evidence of the 100 points is not even real evidence. He took a piece of notebook paper and wrote 100 on it.
No. Someone handed him a sign that he had 100 points, but no one's ever proven that Will has scored 100 points. I mean, someone just gave him that sign and said, hey, you scored 100 points. He's like, cool.
What do you think is some type of conspiracy theory to say he scored 100?
I don't think anyone knows if he scored 100 points. I think they were just like, hey,
it sounded good.
Got close.
Like,
I think
hey.
They might start counting after he already had, like, you know, 15 or whatever. Like, I think they started counting. There's no way he scored 100 points in an NBA game.
All right. Would anybody like to debate Jack on that before the end of the show? 215-592-9494. Jack does not believe Will Chamberlain scored 100 points.
Bean! I was watching that game.
Yeah, he.
I'm sure you were.
Bean!
Wow.
Sunday night, too.
Was it a Sunday night game? Wow.
It was the same night of the conference championship games.
So you were up. You were still wound up from the games. And Kobe's.
Was 06?
Shoot.
Yes. That was back when he was doing the scoring spree where you get 62 and three quarters. You didn't miss a Lakers game.
It was
game
when
the
team
then.
Was terrible and
he was
just
lighting everybody. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Lakers were 22 and 19. Kwame Brown was the starting center.
Yeah, Kwame Brown and Kobe combined for 84 points that game.
Yeah, he had 3 points in 32 minutes. Kwame Brown. Let's go to Victor and Ollie. Victor.
Oh, man. Hey, guys.
What's up, Vic?
Always good to hear from you. Happy New Year to both of you.
Thank you.
What's up, Vic?
And rest in peace to the Black Mamba and to great
commentator, Stewart. That was real class mm-hmm. acting. You guys played that. So listen to me. Listen, just based on this conversation, and again, you want to give the new coach a chance, but can you guys just tell me, for, in terms of just qualification, is Deuce less qualified than Nick?
No.
I don't think so, but
I think their qualifications, yeah, their qualifications so. Are similar.
I mean, Deuce has been coaching okay. in the NFL longer than he has.
Okay. And so one of the things that, again, and I'm trying to gather my thoughts, but the reality for me is, okay, the owner made a decision. And, again, I think you guys are both right. I mean, to kind of pick a coach that will just work with your quarterback is short-sighted when you had your offense sputtering.
Right.
But part of that was the quarterback play. So I can't help but think that was a large part of it, and also money. I think Jeff Floyd didn't want all that money going walking out without some kind of
return.
You know,
yeah.
You know, so that's a lot of money. But, you know, and we'll see what happens in terms of who this coach surrounds himself with concerning moves in terms of just, you know, the type of coaches and who's going to be what. I mean, I think part of they said about Deuce is that he's just a guy who'll tell you the truth. And the one thing about Deuce in terms of what I would have loved to see him get opportunity is that the thing he's always been consistent in is producing the running back or getting good play from the running back position. And I think we would have been better running the ball this year. And I just, again, I have no way of proving that, but I think Deuce would have put some emphasis on the running game.
Of course he
would
have.
He would have made the quarterback a better quarterback because he would have utilized the running game in a much more effective way. Because that's what the man knows.
Yeah.
And so for me, and how many times have you guys complained on air last year about, damn, I wish we would have ran the ball?
Yeah, Carson's struggling to throw the ball. Let's throw it 40, 45 right. times, not roll him out of the pocket. Yeah,
that's just my two cents. And the reality for me is, we'll see. I mean, you know, you always want to give a guy a shot, but there's so many holes. I mean, we haven't even talked about who we're going to bring in as defensive coordinator. And the reality for me is, you know, fixing our defense as well. I mean, you know, what are they going to play? Who's going to come in? What's the philosophy? You know,
yeah.
I know the league has changed and it's more offensive, but I still believe, I'm old school, that defense wins chips. And I also believe Will Chamberlain scored 100 points. But anyway.
thank you, Victor.
Glad you got that
no.
in there.
Jeremy in West Philly. Jeremy, Jack Fritz thinks that Will did not score 100 points. Your thoughts?
So I'm 31. I am, quote unquote, a millennial, but I was raised differently. Like, I respect history, and I know my sports history.
Yes.
Like when y'all have talk about pop culture stuff from the 80s and 90s, I know it all. So, like, when Jack didn't know who Red Fox was, his opinion is irrelevant. Yeah. I'm 31, but it's also, I'm black. So, I know who Red Fox was. I know who Red Fox is.
Right.
So, the fact of the matter is, we've seen in history that players can be bad at something, and then for one night, for one game, they could just be on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah.
And Wilt Chamberlain, yes, was a horrible free throw shooter, but for that one night, he was on. think about Kobe's 83-point game.
81.
Yeah. 81-point game. He was on. Or when AI and Vince were duking it out in the semifinals. They were just on. Wilt Chamberlain is one of the greatest basketball players ever. Period.
Yeah.
This can't be debated. This can't be discussed. He has a Wikipedia page of just his stats.
No, Jeremy, they're unbelievable. But Jack even says that he's an overrated player.
Oh, my gosh. This is getting disgusting. Like, I get it. He could score points. I understand. He could put up these gargantuan numbers. The guy could not win. He couldn't win in high school. He couldn't win in college. And he couldn't win in the pros. We've been over this 1,000 times. He is like such – he's such a loser.
You think it has to
and,
do
– And the way that people
– You just call Will
he's
Chamberlain
such
a loser.
You think it has to do with the team that was built around him
John,
wasn't
there
as good
was
as the
eight
Celtics?
Teams in the league. There's eight teams in the league with guys
you
your
trying,
height playing point guard.
Are you trying guard. To kill our listening audience?
No, I'm not.
Sonny Hill literally just said I'm having the big
just
one.
Say Will Chamberlain is a loser?
He is. Like, can we just – open our eyes and look at some stats and research a little bit. The guy was a career loser that put up points. I get it. I understand what he did was impressive for going up against a bunch of scrubs.
You seem very impressed, yes. You seem very impressed.
Like, I get it. I get it. He scored 1,000 points 100 years ago. But, like, can we just stop with this idea that he's better than all these players? He's not. He's not. The NBA barely existed when Wilt was playing. Come on.
You make me so sick, man. I'm telling you, man.
Yep.
I can't take it.
It's unbelievable. The disrespect is punk.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
But I do. But here's the thing. People call that I disrespect like older legends. I respect them, but no one has a clue as to what these players are actually like.
And something else Jack has said, like, isn't it convenient that he scored 100 points exactly? Right? Like, why exactly 100 points? Because they more or less just gave him the 100. They said, that sounds good. 100 points.
Yeah, we're rounding up. That's what they did on when Will scored 100 points.
No, because
Kobe scored 81, not 80. Right. That's how you know his actually 81. Well,
and there's video proof of it.
Well,
yes.
No, someone said, damn, what did he score, 100 points? And someone said, yeah, he scored 100 points. Sounds good. Coming up.
Sounds believable.
We'll give you our picks coming up for the.
I am not in with you all on this.
Why?
I'm just instigating. I think
he's an
idiot.
I want you to tell me, like, can you show me video proof that Will Chamberlain scored 100 points in a game?
I can't.
Can you show video proof that Babe Ruth had 714?
Yes. There's video. There's even video of him pointing to the fans. But there's no proof that Will Chamberlain scored a quote unquote 100 points in a game. Are you kidding me?
Well, do this for me. Find me the 714 home runs that Babe Ruth.
It was 1927 and there's still video of it.
Coming up, is Deuce Staley getting interest around the league? It looks like it. He is.
Oh, there we go, Deuce.
Also, our picks for championship weekend. We'll give you our picks for the games coming up on Sunday. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.